With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Folks, we've been fortunate to have Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, join us every Monday to give us the latest on the PPP, the EIDL loans, the economic injury disaster loan by the SBA, and a discussion about the local economy as well as the national economy. Guy Williams, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Newell. It's good to be with you.
So, Guy, let's see. I think we're going on 13 or 14 weeks of the final issuance of the SBA and changes, I guess. Does that trend continue or no?
It does. The changes this week are minor. What has happened is Congress is beginning to realize that they're not going to use all the money. So there is discussion now of what is next, and a further stimulus program is contemplated. They're optimistically saying it will be the last stimulus program, but the plan is to get that out before the August recess. So we need to stay tuned because that's coming up soon. There will be payroll protection money left over. And, of course, in New Orleans, we just had a big setback. And, you know, we're dealing with a lot of challenges because we're dialing back the things that can be done. And for some of our customers and some of the people in the area, that really is a difficult thing. And it comes at a very difficult time, too, because of the hot weather and the lack of tourists in town.
Yeah, we just learned today, K-Paul, one of the most iconic restaurants in the city of national and international recognition, closing down for good.
Yeah, and you know, that's really unfortunate for a multitude of reasons. One, you know, I still use his cookbook and love the recipes. I remember him when, you know, before he was famous. People come to New Orleans for that sort of restaurant. But if you think about the challenges of a restaurant that needs to operate at 70 to 80% of capacity and has had rent going on all through this crisis, it really becomes very difficult. And unfortunately, we don't know when tourists are going to come back to New Orleans. You know, we just had the Red Dress Run canceled, which is a small event, but a fun event. And, you know, as you lose those, you lose the potential for customers to be here. What we've been doing is talking to our customers and saying, look, in view of this reality, you need to look and see what it takes for you to reopen and consider maybe a September target date. And rather than throw your hands in the air, consider exactly what you need. And if you need, you know, 3 months of no rent from the landlord, maybe you need that. If you need, you know, 3 or 4 months more of no payments from your lender, if you need your vendors to give you a break, once you assemble what you need, ask them for the help that's required, because a lot of these folks realize they need to take care of their customers. If you're a landlord in the French Quarter and your restaurant tenant can't pay, it's not like someone else is lining up behind them to take that spot. So we're encouraging people to actually do a real cash flow analysis, sit down and look at what they need, and then make the request. Now, if it turns out nobody helps you and you can't get what you need, then you may need to start over and do something a little different, or reopen a new restaurant in a different location if that's the business you're in. But it's a time for reconsideration, but it's not a time to despair. This is going to end. There's good work on vaccines. The death rate continues to be very low. We're optimistic that we get out of this in the fall in some form or fashion, but it's right now just a time of real uncertainty for everybody.
I asked the assistant state health officer last week, this question: how do we break this cycle? I mean, the virulence of this, infection is still there. The transmission rate is relatively high, albeit it's not leading to the same experience that we had in hospitalizations and deaths, but there has been a resurgence along those lines. And now they're talking about if a vaccine arrives that it's going to have an efficacy rate of about 65%. So when we do this on again, off again, and this is not a criticism, it's just an observation, we're making it really hard for people to survive, in with their businesses. And I said this before and I'll say it again, I think small and medium-sized businesses are going to catch the brunt of this, because you as well as I know that their working capital calculations are stretched to the max. And, you know, they just don't have the money. And so I think these bankruptcies, these closures, there's a day of reckoning. And I'm not so sure how far off that is. Your thoughts?
Well, it's coming. I do appreciate the state coming out with the $15,000 grant program. I think that's going to be helpful for people that didn't get any other sort of aid. So that should help some people get tided over. We are seeing a little bit of a resurgence in oil and gas now that the prices are back. So volume is coming back in that area. But this is a tough time. It's not still not as tough as the financial crisis that we endured. But the difference this time is the uncertainty. No one knows when it ends. No one knows what's next. You know, I happen to be visiting relatives in Norfolk, Virginia, and we stopped in Athens on the way back. And, of course, it's overloaded with Bulldog paraphernalia. And I just said, well, you know, what about SEC football? And their response is, we can't live without football. So, yeah. Well, you know, who knows what happens? And we just don't know. Big Ten is saying conference only. The uncertainty is, I think, one of the bigger problems. And what we're counseling our customers is you need to realize this is a brand new thing. We are getting better at it. The death rate remains very low. So I talked to some physicians over the weekend. They said the treatment protocols are better now. They've learned things that don't work. Turns out the ventilator is really a bad idea. You don't want to put people on the ventilator unless it's just absolutely necessary because it causes a lot of complications, but just, you know, giving them oxygen in different ways does the same thing with a lot more safety. So we're learning the lessons. We're seeing people wearing the mask. You know, our folks at work are doing that. I think we can break the cycle in the next 2 or 3 weeks and then be looking in the rearview mirror and saying, okay, now we're going to recover. Now we need to get back to, you know, how do we make this economy strong again? How do we get people back in the city in a safe way? But it's certainly possible. And Newell, if you have time, I want to talk a little bit about fraud. That's a new thing that's coming up as a result of this.
No, absolutely. Go ahead.
So we have two big frauds that we've encountered lately. One is there's an individual operating in Battery, and he has cards from FinCEN. Except, of course, as you know, anyone can make up a card. FinCEN is the National Financial Crime Enforcement Network.
Right.
Well, he has cards with the right Vienna, Virginia address, the right logo. They look very official. His name is on the cards, and he uses different cards with different names. What he's been doing is going to individuals and businesses and telling them FinCEN is investigating certain criminal activity in this area, and we need to get some information from you in order to help the government. Well, what he's doing is getting the information that's necessary for identity theft. And the unfortunate thing, we've reported this to the authorities and to Jefferson Parish Sheriff. They haven't been able to catch him in the act, but I want to let people know FinCEN works with financial institutions. They don't have a local person in Battery. An individual from FinCEN is not going to show up at your office. They're not going to call you at home. They don't operate that way. If they do, just immediately get as much information as you can about where he is and report him to the authorities, because this guy has gathered information from several people that we're familiar with and is doing an identity theft scam. And he's saying it's because of COVID-19. So he's preying upon people's fears and using that to be a way to get confidential financial information. The other one is we've got the Publishers Clearinghouse scam back. Publishers Clearing House, as you know, is a legitimate company. Yeah. They do have a prize patrol. And what they're doing is sending out UPS envelopes that say you've won. Call this number. When you call the number, of course, they're very happy. They tell you you've won. And all you need to do is send $15,000 to pay the taxes on the $3 million. Now, that should be your first red flag.
Yeah,
if you make
it's a big
$3
million
and the taxes were only $15,000, boy, is that a nice thing. The federal government has really lowered rates.
Jesus. Oh, God. I mean, you know, the ends that people will go to. I mean, I just... But yeah, that's the lowest tax rate in probably the world.
So. Yeah, in the history of the world.
You're right.
Anyway, that scam is real and happening. We've had two of our customers that actually mailed checks, and fortunately they talked to us, because the crook goes one stupid step further and says you also need to get a prepaid card for incidentals and send that to us for $500. Well, none of this makes sense,
right. But
the crooks are quarantined just like everybody else, and they're running these two scams right this minute in South Louisiana. We've had people affected. And obviously, we don't want to see anyone lose their money, particularly in this time of turmoil. But it is a reminder, you know, crooks are always crooks, and they take advantage of any circumstance to prey on people.
Yeah. We got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll go to the talk lines, 260-1870, or text 260-1870. If you have a question for Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, we're here, ready to try and answer those questions. Obviously, PPP loans are still out there. There's any number of loans available through the Small Business Administration. So give us a shout. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, we're back with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. He's available to answer any questions that you may have about the PPP or SBA loans or about the economy here locally or nationally. Let's go to Alvin on line one. Alvin, you're on with Guy Williams.
Hey, Guy. Thank you, Noon. I have a question about the grant. I applied for the $10,000 grant, the loan, which is on $5,000. So, do I qualify for the $15,000 grant?
No, you don't. If you got either the EIDL loan or the PPP, you don't apply for the first 3 weeks. But after the first 3 weeks, you can apply. So the idea is initially they're going to let it go to people that didn't get any, which is fair. And then depending on what's left over, they'll open up to the rest of the people.
So it haven't been 3 weeks yet since they put this grant out.
No. In fact, there's the Treasurer's making an announcement today after this hour where you can sort of see what's going on. But no, they haven't done it yet. It's just kicking off, so you'll have 3 weeks of people that didn't get either one.
Okay, so I'm actually this year, Guy. Apply for the 10, but it's on 5. So what happened with that? How that work?
Well, what happened in the very beginning is they were sending out checks for 10,000 for people that applied. Then they reduced it to 1,000 per employee. Then they reduced it to just 1,000 because they were overwhelmed with responses. So depending on when you applied, you got different amounts. So you got in the middle. It could have been worse. You could have gotten only 1,000. So at least you got halfway there.
So that's it. They're not going to do anything else on that.
No, they're not. They finished up on the EIDL program.
Okay. Now, do you have a website just in case this $15,000 grant come up?
Look at State of Louisiana Treasurer's website. So go to State of Louisiana and then go to the Treasurer's website within that.
State of Louisiana. And
Treasurer.
Treasurer.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the remainder of the promulgation of the rules are going to be is that going to be announced today, Guy?
Yeah, he's doing a press release, and by pure coincidence, Victoria Stepolovich, who is head of Harvey Canal Industrial Association, mm-hmm. who also works for us, is moderating that with him this afternoon.
Awesome. All righty. Well, thank you, Alvin. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jay on line two. Jay, you're on with Guy Williams.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I'm looking at my credit union website page right now. Now, my credit score is an 804. It's a FICO issue. It isn't a question so much as it's just – thank you. It's not a question. It's just kind of
want a trade?
Venting a little bit. What's that?
Said you want to trade?
So there's two things that my FICO score is telling me on which I'm taking a hit. And I have a real problem with this. So, again, this is venting, just letting you know what's going on out there with people. One of them says no recent revolving balances, score was impacted because you're not currently demonstrating active revolving credit or open-ended credit management. In other words, I haven't put anything on my Visa card since April. Now, to me, that's a good thing. But I'm taking a hit, theoretically, okay, because of that. But this is the one that – this is the other one that really gets me. Proportion of loan balances to loan amounts is too high. I took a car loan out July of last year. As of June, I had paid off 47% of that loan, okay? And it's telling me right here, your score was impacted because your proportion of installment loan balances to the original loan amounts is too high. What am I supposed to make of this? In other words, I don't believe either one of these. And yet that's I'm supposed to have faith in this. I have no faith. These are lies.
Well, let me give you a little background on FICO. FICO is not accurate for any given individual, but what it's very accurate for is a large group of people. So if you have 1,000 people with similar circumstances, it very accurately predicts how they'll repay. But as Dave Ramsey likes to complain about, FICO is a measurement of how you use credit. Somebody that pays cash for everything and never has a balance might end up with a low FICO score because it's really measuring your borrowing. That person that pays cash might have a lot of liquidity, would be a perfect credit risk. Well, FICO is not going to capture it because they sell scores to lenders. So they want to sell you a score that you can use for people that are going to borrow money. But I will say this, when you have a score above 800, it's sort of like when Tiger Woods won the Masters with a 10-point lead, and they were asking him about it, and he was criticizing his putts on a couple of greens. It's like, you killed the field. Yeah. You're in the top 5%. So you can't do a whole lot better. And just as Tiger Woods wanted to be perfect, you know, sometimes you can't get to perfection, but you're really close, and I wouldn't be concerned at all because you'd be eligible for any credit product that anybody offers with an 800-plus credit score.
Well, I'm really not concerned because, I mean, I'm doing fine, but it's just when I read these, I find it annoying because I could pay this loan off right now. That's not an issue. So when you say that they're selling it, that tells me that, okay, they're in the business of making a profit. So they have an agenda, and that agenda is, okay, fine, but it isn't – it's affecting me because they're applying their agenda to me, and in both cases, these are not true. I mean – I get it, though. I know what you're saying. I appreciate you taking my call.
But, Jay, it's yes and no, because what they're really selling is information and data about propensity evidence, about a group of folks that fall within the sphere that you fall in and their propensity to pay their debts, right?
Yeah,
Guy?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And, I mean, look, they're rating that you're going to pay your debts back. They're telling you that you're going to pay. And these little knick-knacky things are just that. I wouldn't be concerned at all. I mean, that's like a brand-new Maserati and somebody says, but there's mud on one of the tires. Well, yeah, you just turned in the parking lot.
Well, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
And depending what street you just turned on, it might have been a problem in a Maserati as well.
Exactly. Or you could have a bent rim. Yeah. I had a good friend who bought a Lamborghini, and I saw him, and I said, Bill, how's the Lamborghini? He said, I sold it. And I said, why did you sell it? He said, I had two accidents. I said, really? I thought you drove it carefully. He said, oh, no, I ran into the street. The thing had 2 inches of ground clearance, and he hit, you know, like the drain caps or whatever on the street twice, and he realized, you know what, this is just not the right car to drive in New Orleans.
No, not at all. Let's go to Michael in line three. Michael, you're on with Guy Williams.
Yes, sir. I was just calling. I want to say because I believe on Wednesday there's an additional $250, you know, award for people that are still working right now, stimulus. And then you know which website we would go to apply for that?
I do not. And I'm actually not familiar with that program. So,
yeah, Michael, who's going to do that?
I thought it was the state of Louisiana. I mean, I may be wrong.
We will check for you, but we're not aware of that. I can tell you what's pending right now. Congress is looking at phase four. The Senate's in recess this week. The House is doing just sort of committee knickknacks. But they're talking about doing another stimulus check. But that isn't certain. And that's the only program I know that's pending other than the $15,000 grant that the state of Louisiana is also doing.
Okay, that's good enough. That's what I was, like I said, I wasn't 100% sure you hear this from somebody, but at least I kind of know that then. All right, well, I appreciate all the help.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Michael. Guy, there's any number of programs that they're talking about. I think one's referred to, Ian was just whispering in my ear, that the frontline worker stimulus program. There's a number of different ideas that are being bannered about right now in D.C., right?
There are, and the only ones that I mentioned are the ones that our D.C. people say have broad support across both sides of the aisle, because it's easy to have an idea in D.C., but if you can't get Democrats to go with you if you're Republican, or vice versa, if you're Republican to get Democrats, it's not going to go through. There does seem to be a consensus about some sort of stimulus check. They're also talking about some targeted aid to industries. But that's gotten wrapped up in which industries get targeted, because as soon as you mention one industry like tourism and restaurants, well, you know, Florida's happy, we're happy, but some of the other states that don't have that aren't happy. So that's not as sure a sign as the chance to greater stimulus. The one thing that there is a big consensus in favor of is help to schools as they reopen. And some of the frontline workers they may be talking about might be the school teachers. Yeah. But I would say there probably will be something for school teachers, something in terms of another stimulus. But those are the only things that we know of right now that have support across both sides of the aisle.
Guy, there's obviously the retail sector across the country continues to get hammered. They announced this past week Brooks Brothers in trouble. They're trying to redefine themselves and maybe come out of it. They're not certain what they're going to do. There are any number of dining establishments, a lot of hamburger joints that are, that are out there that are closing up. Not a lot here locally, but across the country too. We continue to see the food service and the retail sector really, really struggling.
Well, they are, and it's a multitude of factors. But one is, while you have no customers, your costs are going up, because the meatpacking industry has been particularly hard hit by the virus. So there have been shortages. There have been expensive price increases. So if you're selling hamburgers, there literally has been a bit of a shortage of beef. For a while, there was a bit of a shortage of chicken because the poultry processors were shutting down. So if you're in business, it really is the worst of all worlds. You have no customers, and the product you're trying to sell is more expensive. And then if you're in one of the areas that did a re-shutdown, you might have inventory that you're going to have to give away, or, you know, it'll just go bad. So the restaurant industry is really challenged, and that's why we encourage people to take a hard look at thinking about their business as a startup and saying, okay, what do I need to start up? How can I ramp into the expected volume, and what sort of help will I need from everybody that's involved in order to make it work?
Yeah, in fact, I've just found the story about the frontline worker stimulus program, and that's a Louisiana program. And that includes workers like healthcare, EMS, nurses, police, grocery workers, bus drivers, and others. To qualify, workers must earn under $50,000 a year. There's up to $50 million in checks that can be dispersed through the Louisiana Department of Revenue. And the process has not been announced just yet as it relates to those rules. All right, if you got a question for Guy Williams, we'll be right back after the break. 260-1870 or text 260-1870. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back with Guy Williams, president, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, talking about PPP, talking about other economic relief programs managed and operated by the Small Business Administration. Let's go to Jeff on line four. Jeff, you're on with Guy Williams.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I actually spoke to you a couple weeks back. Thank you. I spoke to you a couple weeks back regarding the fact that I had a small vending business, and unfortunately, things had changed from it being a grant to a loan. Now, through a good friend of mine who mentioned this new grant, how likely is it going to be possible for me to gain those funds and that possibly also, again, turning into a loan? I think it's a $15,000 grant. Just kind of wanted to know your take on that.
Sure. First, did you get either PPP or an EIDL loan?
So when we spoke a few weeks ago, what happened was I didn't realize this. It was up to $10,000, and that became per employee. Now, I'm the sole owner-operator, so I did receive $1,000, and that was it.
Okay. What that means is you're not going to be able to apply in the first 3 weeks, but you can apply immediately thereafter. So we don't know how many people are going to apply. The state of Louisiana
right.
program is a pure grant. It does not turn into a loan. So
okay.
it will be a grant. You need to look at the treasurer's website. As soon as the first 3 weeks go by, go ahead and apply.
We actually, I don't know if we were able to do something, but it sent us an email letting us know a specific date, I think, that when it would start. If that makes sense, my wife kind of helped
does.
Me with some of this backlog stuff. So does that mean that we need – so we were waiting to see, and I was kind of concerned thinking that these funds are going to go by awfully quick as well. And if we're waiting 3 weeks, how likely is that going to be available at that time?
Unfortunately, I think the odds are, you know, maybe 60-40 against you, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it because a lot of people – Louisiana – is not one of the biggest states in the nation, but we were number 26 out of 50 in terms of getting different PPP loans, different EIDL loans, because a lot of our local banks really worked hard to make that happen. So an awful lot of folks did get some sort of aid. So that means that the people who didn't are not as big as they would be in another state. So that improves your chances.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All righty, let's go to Lewis on line five. You're on with Guy Williams, Lewis.
Hey, no, thanks, Mr. Williams. I appreciate it. I was approved for my SBA loan, a small business, a mechanical shop, $38,700. 10 days after that was put into my new account, they sent me $3,000 from the SBAB Treasury 310. What the heck is that?
Did you also apply for an EIDL loan?
Possibly. We applied for a few things quite a few months ago, and they sent us the SBA approved $38,700 that went into an account finally. But 10 days after that, an even $3,000, my bank says, from the SBAB Treasury 310.
Yeah. The IRS, we talked about this about 5 weeks ago. There were some sort of mystery stimulus checks that the government sent out based on a formula that they didn't reveal to anybody. And it is legitimate. It is something you can use and just be grateful. One of the things that's happened is this program and all the programs have been put together very fast. And the reason they were is because it was realized in D.C. that if they didn't do something quickly, we literally could fall into a Great Depression because this is a global crisis. And so they did everything they could to get money out. And when you do that, sometimes it gets a little confusing. Sometimes there's a little overlap. But I have to give them credit for their heart being in the right place and for making the effort because, you know, during the financial crisis, it took them over a year to get some money out in certain cases. And after Katrina, we all remember that it was months and months and months before we finally got cash. They kept talking about it, but it didn't show up. So they did learn their lesson. They've worked hard, and there's a little overlap and a little confusion, but sounds like you benefited a little bit from it. So that's a good thing.
Guy, you would suggest and recommend, I'm sure, that they maintain all of the documentation that they filed for, provided, and what they've received back from these federal agencies as well. Create a file. Don't get rid of those documents, because at some point in time, you may be asked about it.
Yes, and that's a very important point, because there's a six-year window in which the government can examine your records. And the other thing, because it's the federal government, if they change their minds, they can make the six-year window longer. So, you know, we think that that's it. But, I mean, federal rules are like children riding on the sand and on the beach. You know, whatever the new Congress does, that's the new rule. So very, very important to keep your records so that you can document what happened, because sometimes a new administration comes in and forgets what the old one promised.
Yep, absolutely. Lewis, thank you so much. Let's go to Chuck. You're on with Guy Williams. Chuck.
Thanks, Noel. And Guy, thanks a lot. You've been a big help over the past couple of months by coming on every week like this. And I know
you're a business
guy, we appreciate it greatly. I have a quick question. We received funds from PPP, and we've maxed out everything. We actually underestimated on purpose the amount of funds that we would need, and everything has worked out fine. What I'm trying to do now is do the paperwork and get everything all set to have the forgiveness portion of this done. And it seems like SBA keeps having meetings or new documents or things of that nature. And if I'm being redundant with the question, I apologize, but exactly where are we with the forgiveness documentation? When can we get it? When can we apply for it? When do we go forward from there? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling. The SBA documents do change, but they've actually changed for the better. And they're simpler than they were when they first came out. They're available on the SBA.gov website. So you can go ahead and fill out those documents. The only provision that I would say is there is some discussion in D.C. about an even simpler one-page attestation for loans 150 and below, where you just have to say, I used it for the right purpose. And that may happen. If it does, then the extra documentation wouldn't have been necessary. But I'd still go ahead, get the documents from the website, fill them out, and you can apply right now for forgiveness.
All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be back with Guy Williams' final thoughts when we return. Stay with us, folks. We're back with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Guy, your final thoughts.
A lot of people have been missing their IRS payments, and I want to remind folks, even if you don't have the money, you have to file your taxes, because the IRS will work out a payment plan if you file the return. But for goodness sake, don't skip the return and hide, because they will find you, and then that becomes a criminal offense. So be sure to file the return, even if you have to file it and say, look, I just don't have the money right now.
And I got to imagine that the IRS is fully anticipating that any number of people are going to be in necessitous circumstances, right?
They are. And what we're finding is they're being much more reasonable this right now, because they know people just don't have money. So if you file and tell them, look, I know I owe X $1,000, but I just don't have it right now, they've been working with folks.
All righty. Well, thank you again for joining us. We always appreciate it, and I know the listening audience does as well. And we know you're busy, and we appreciate the time spent with us.
Noel, thank you so much. Good to be with you.
All righty, folks. Want to thank everybody, Ian in the booth, Helen, Diane, Kevin, and the rest of the WWL radio team. Scoot is up next, and I know that he's going to have some spirited conversations with you this afternoon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.